Hello and welcome to the return of Baby Talk. This is our show for Saturday, November 27th. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornatel, far from the Brooklyn Bunker, on the other coast, actually, out here in Del Mar for the Del Mar Turf Festival. There are a couple of two-year-old races that are a part of that. We're going to talk about them later in the show. But first, let me bring in today's guest. One isn't really a guest. He is really a co-host. He's been on all but one of these Baby Talk episodes, giving you all manner of winners throughout the year. From our sponsor, Gainesway, he is Sean Tugel. Sean, how are things?
Doing great. Recovering from a plate full of food from Thanksgiving Day and some good racing. So everything's good and excited to get back and do another show with you.
Did you make the turkey? Was that your responsibility? I could see you there in like a Rockwellian image of Tugel at the farm table with the carving the bird right there. Is that how it went down?
No. I assisted, but my old man, Dr. Bob, he was definitely the turkey cooker this year.
Awesome. Were you in the bluegrass or were you back in Western New York?
Right here in the bluegrass. Too cold to go back to Western New York right now.
So that's a very, very good point. Speaking of the bluegrass, another person from the eastern part of the country who now makes his home there. We've had him on the show before, but we never enough because he's always fun to talk to him about playing the horses and the things he sees on the grounds there at Churchill Downs. Double K, Kevin Kirstein, how are things, my friend?
Man, it's great. PTF, it's probably a lot warmer out on the West Coast than it is right now in Kentucky, but regardless, it should be a great day of racing here in the Midwest and out at Del Mar.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk on this show about these four stakes races. For more coverage on them, our buddy Eric Solomon, who's been doing such fantastic work over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. It's kind of funny. Somebody might have noted, oh, Eric, you know, he's a pretty consistent contributor, but lately he's gone crazy recuperating from a little injury. Everything's okay, but it seems like he's got that much more time to contribute. So he might even be chiming in with something about the Del Mar force out tomorrow, which I'm looking forward to. In the pick six should be, you know, assuming it doesn't get hit today, $500,000 or so in there. That'll be fun. And you can read his coverage of these same stakes races over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. But I want to hear what this crew has to say. We'll start off in race number 9. It goes at 4:57 Eastern. We've got the two-year-old colts in the lively. It's Lively Shively, right, Kevin? Am I saying that right?
It sure is. It's named after the community that's about, probably a mile and a half away from the backside here at Churchill Downs. And we've started a new tradition, Pete, as we're naming a lot of our stakes races after the community here in Louisville.
I mean, the way they support the game, that only makes sense to me. Well, this is 6.5 furlongs on the dirt. Kevin, as our guest, let's bring you in. How are we going to separate this field of 8 runners?
You know, it's sort of unique how we have these now. 6.5 furlong stakes for both the boys, and then later on in the card in the finale we'll have the Fern Creek for the two-year-old fillies. And so, you know, sort of at this stage you see a lot of trainers where they don't really know where their horses necessarily fit. Do they want to stretch out? Do they want to stay sprinting? And so I think this is a good opportunity for trainers to sort of keep their horses going one turn and maybe have more realistic thoughts and maybe go down that Derby trail later on in the year. And so 7-5 on the morning line in the Lively Shively is Tejano Twist for Tom Durant. And Brett Calhoun has already made 7 starts this year. Really figured things out last time out at Keeneland, dominating by 7.25 lengths in a conditioned allowance event that day. Was second at Colonial on the turf 3 starts back, and also was running well at Remington in the Kip DeVille Stakes. And I think he's a very formidable favorite. He's a gelded son of Practical Joke. You know, I do think we'll probably get at least 7-5 on here. I think there's some others that may get some play. This kicks off that all stakes pick 4 to close the card here at Churchill Downs on Stars of Tomorrow 2-day. Tejano Twist is one that I think I'm going to lean on. You know, even though you're getting a short price in the win odds, I think there's some opportunities later on in this sequence where you can spread deep. So I'm sticking with Tejano Twist. I think the Asmussen duo that's in this race and Chatelot and Cool Papa G may take some play. Chatelot, the 3 horses, 7-2 on the line, who ran 3rd last time out in the Bowman Mill, but that was on the slop at Keeneland. I think he'll run better getting on the fast track here. And Cool Papa G is the son of McLean's Music, who Also ran at Keeneland last time out. Get the jock change to Joel Rosario, who's been hot as of late here at Churchill Downs riding here this meet. So I think these two may get some play, but leaning on Tejano Twist to kick off the All-Stakes pick four.
I will go ahead, and while I'll give strong preference for Tejano Twist in my little notes on your plays, Kevin, I'll mention the three and the two as possible backups for those looking to spread a little bit deeper or looking for ones to come with in exotics. Is that a fair representation of your opinion?
I'd say so. Steve Asmussen won five races on Thursday. The barn has definitely turned around in the last 2 weeks or so after the cold September in Keeneland meets here in Kentucky.
Let's bring Sean Tugel right back in. Who do you like in this one, my friend?
Certainly hard to get past Tejano Twist. He's a deserving favorite there at 7-5. His numbers certainly are the fastest in the race. I went with the horse just to the outside of him for the coach, Dwayne Lucas, Ignitus. If you look at his races under a mile, they've all been very competitive. Five lifetime starts, so he definitely has the fitness to compete here. Never off the board in those five starts. Does need to take a healthy step forward to be competitive with Tejano Twist if he runs the same numbers he's been running the last two starts. Two back, he gets beat by Rattle and Roll, who went on to win the Grade One. And then comes back at Keeneland going 7 furlongs to win by 5. So I'm looking for Ignitus to maybe take another step forward and be competitive here to possibly upset the 5 Tejano Twist. But he certainly looks every part to be, you know, a lot of people's singles on this card.
6-5 for Sean as we get this All Stakes Pick 4 kicked off, which continues with graded stakes action for the 2-year-old fillies in the Grade 2 Goldenrod. We go a mile and a 16th with $400,000 in the pot. Sean Tugel, we'll keep it with you.
Yeah, I mean, certainly kind of the headliner in the race would be Essential Qualities' half-sister, the number one famed. She's run two very good races and just broke her maiden. This is her first time going two turns. But I'd have to say my top choice is the four-horse Sandstone, 8-5. I thought her last race was ultra impressive to draw off and win by 10 3/4. Her race before that, she won by 9. She's made all three starts at Churchill and has won two of them. So, you know, she likes the track. It's I think she could be a really special filly. So I'm going to stick with the 4 Sandstone. Now, for a little bit of a price to pick up the pieces, maybe upset it with the blinkers on, the 7 Dreamlift for Robertino Diodoro.
Certainly has shown a little bit of that finishing ability, and I think you're going to get a good price, 8-1 there on the morning line for Dreamlift. Kevin, how do you see this one?
You know, Fame is very well touted in both of her career starts. When she debuted here at Churchill in September, she finished 2nd to Sweet Danny Girl, who will be the favorite in race 12 in the Fern Creek this afternoon, and then came back and just dominated at Keeneland. And Brad Cox has been very open with his thoughts on Fame. You know, this is really the good test for her to see how good she is. And, you know, just a few years ago, Brad ran 2nd with Monomoy Girl in this race. And so he definitely can have good fillies in his barn that doesn't necessarily have to as a 3-year-old. And, you know, the one thing that I have to mention with Sandstone is I do think she's a very well-meant favorite. Or who did she beat last time out? Ugiri's in this race. He just want to get a cutback in distance eventually. And so I do think she'll get played off the 2-1 morning line. I do think she is the real deal. And the training that she could be, it's probably going to be about the horizontals for me. I mean, Gary, if you're sort of against, you know, those two with. This race, the bomb, who's the 3-1 favorite, who we saw run 2nd last time out in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf and ended up actually paying out as the win bet, because we all know what happened in there with the Modern Games faux scratch. He's run on the dirt before.
Any other specific numbers you'd want, Kevin, to try to come in under going to be about the horizontals for him?
Smile Happy, who draws 2 spots to the outside in here for Kenny McPeak. So these two are both well meant. And Classic Causeway has every right to improve with the.
And this is a runner who did show a little bit of finish on debut in that grass race.
Howling Time, who I will go with on top as a tepid selection, who won the Street Sense last time out. He's undefeated for Dale Romans and the Oddball Stables. They've been down this road before. They know how to have these precocious 2-year-olds ready to go, and hopefully Dale has one turning 3 eventually down the road. But, Howling Time won by 3 1/4 lengths last time out in the Street Sense. He's trained forwardly out of that race. He had every right to maybe not run as well last time out, going from the 3-1/4 maiden breaking race to 2 turns for the first time, and he showed every right that he is the real deal. And I think he can return from that effort today in the Jockey Club after impressively winning the Street Sense, but very competitive running of the Street Sense or the Kentucky Jockey Club this afternoon. You know, in the pick fours, I'm spreading in this race using Classic Causeway, using Howling Time. So that's the one and the four, using the six, Tis the Bomb, as well as the eight, Smile Happy. And, you know, sort of the wild card that, depending on budget, to maybe throw in this race is the 10 White Afario.
I like that angle that you mentioned.
Didn't really
you see a horse
that much,
who would have an excuse starts, to maybe not do so well, and then they run through that, whether that's a trainer, stat, a trainer that doesn't typically win first out, for example, or a difficult stretch out, as in the case of Howling Time. I think it makes sense to use that as an indicator of ability and give extra credit going forward. So I like that idea. Any other numbers to come with, or is Howling Time really the one you wanted to talk about in here?
I had a lot of similar thoughts there as Kevin. I do think Howling Time, the five horse, is going to be my top selection. A lot of it comes down, I like the post position draw that as in the five. I like that he's already a multiple winner, having already won around two turns over Churchill. He's two for two at the track. Old Classic Causeway just can't get lucky with the post position draw. I think this is going to be a little bit of a litmus test to see if he can, run back close to what his first race was. Being from the one hole, it looks like he'll go to the lead again. So we'll see. I love that Rosario.
Sean Tugel, how are you seeing this competitive?
I do think Classic Causeway
Kentucky Jockey
Club
my
top two choices. With that being said, a horse to pay attention to that I'm not sure today is going to be his day, but maybe a horse down the road. Certainly, as we get into the Triple Crown Trail, is the eight, Smile Happy, having won first time around two turns at Keeneland, put up a decent solid buyer of 70 first time out. Kenny McPeak, he's pretty good at getting the horses to perform when they need to. So being out of the Pleasant Tap mare, he definitely is going to be bred to go longer as he matures. So he's a horse I think could run a big race here, but Howling Time would definitely be my top choice so far.
You know, sort of, I've seen them all in the mornings, and they all the ones that I've mentioned really have looked solid. And so, there hasn't been really
Smile Happy. It's worth noting, I think, on the Timeform US figures. Actually, that figure came back even stronger than that. With the adjusted for pace, came back 102. So that's more like an 82 buyer speed figure. So Smile Happy definitely makes sense, especially at that 12-1 of the morning line. And that workout does catch the eye. The five in a minute flat back from November 20th. You mentioned Smile Happy as well. Do you have any firsthand knowledge of how the horse is looking in the morning, Kevin? Or are you more just going off the paper with him?
You know, it's we mentioned Sweet Danny Girl earlier, who defeated Famed in her debut at 45-1 for Carlo Vacareza, and really backed up that effort last time out in the Myrtlewood at Keeneland, winning by 3/4 of a length that day. Could she be the real deal? You know, she's obviously one that I think you need to use. I'm looking at the cutback in here on Matter.
Makes sense. Let's talk about our nightcap. 2-year-old fillies taking center stage again in the Fern Creek Stakes, the other race that Kevin mentioned before being run at 6.5, sort of a little bit of an in between distance. And Kevin, we'll put the big question to you first and foremost. How are we going to get paid in this All Stakes Pick Four?
Very much justice in this race. You're not getting a big prize on the morning line. Second choice probably in this race, but to me, I think the cutback is everything for her in here. Maybe throwing in very little sense underneath, adding the blinkers for Randy Morris, who, again, I think this sprint distance is the best. type of distance for her. She finished third to Sweet Danny Girl last time out, but I think she may jump up a little bit adding the blinkers. She's a very speedy daughter of Golden Sense, so probably we'll see her out on the lead battling in here. So those two for me in this race. And, you know, Sweet Danny Girl is one that you have to use just because I do think she's going to get played off of that 5-2 line, so probably will get less than that. So, you know, she's could be the real deal. She could just maybe, you know, be those two races of flukes. I don't know. But Matteray, I think, is a strong selection for me on top, just to cut back in distance for Brad Cox.
Yeah, Sweet Danny Girl, I think she benefited the most from the draw, being drawn outside everybody. You know, justified her maiden victory.
It makes perfect sense. And the way she traveled in that race, before that race, there was a lot of talk about Matarea having worked better than stablemate Juju's Map coming in. And halfway through the race, she looked loaded and then just kind of emptied out, like it was maybe just a bridge too far. And if you look at the type of pace figures she was running to the 6 furlong mark in that race, in the Alcibiades, I mean, that's a number that should win this. So I like that opinion a lot. And if you were to get 3-1 or 7-2, Matarea would definitely be a bet for me. Sean Tugel, how do you see it?
Six, Marissa's Lady, who broke her maiden first time out, Churchill going six with an 85 buyer. I Violence is a great source of speed. Here in her second lifetime start is a little, doesn't have the experience that the others does, but certainly looks like she could have the speed to compete in here. And kind of a wild card is the five, Knowing Glance. Doesn't really line up on numbers, but has been 2-for-2 since being claimed by Mike Maker. You get Tyler Gaffleone, who's riding pretty hot, and 8-1, you never know, might be able to get underneath the winner in second or third. Eight, six, five.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and good luck to you guys today.
Six, five, those are the numbers you want to have officially recorded here as we close out the Churchill portion of the show, Sean? Eight, okay, we are going to put the eight right on top, okay. 8, 6, and 5. Excellent. All right, good stuff. Kevin, we're going to let you go. We know you have a busy day. We appreciate you taking time out for us. But it was a pleasure having you on the show, and we'll do it again soon.
The 11, Helen's Well, would be my top choice. Don't love
excellent.
The draw
good
all the
stuff
way outside.
From Kevin. We'll be talking to him again soon. Sean, you're not done yet. We're keeping you around because we want to talk about this pair of 2-year-old stakes races on the turf, starting with the one happening a little bit later this afternoon right here at Del Mar. Down the block, I can walk to the track from where I'm staying. It's the Jimmy Durante will be the first of our two races that we're going to talk about, one being today and one being tomorrow. This goes at 6:30 Eastern time. I'll make you start.
Good season
what
with
do you
his
think
first
is going to happen in here?
Out of a perfect soul mare, so certainly that translates to turf form. Definitely needs to step up coming out of a maiden 50 victory, but that was the first turf start. Looks like maybe they got away with runner for a tag after her maiden start on the dirt was unimpressive. So I do think Peter Miller here, he's got Flavian Prada aboard, who was aboard her for her maiden victory. I like the spacing. And at 6-1 versus the 7-2 being parked out in the parking lot. I like Travel Smart to run a big race.
We'll see what happens. We'll see it. We'll see how she ends up classing up coming out of that maiden 50. That eventually put me off. I was with you on Helen's Well. Horses run well every time. Last seen in the juvenile filly turf, moving into the fastest part of the race, getting into a tricky spot, and then look to be staying on again later. As you point out, the post less than ideal. But maybe with her running style in a race where there does appear to be plenty of pace in the form of runners like the 1, 6, and 9, maybe it'll be okay to just drop out and make one run. I had to go with her on top. I did want to mention a few others, though, in here for exotics purposes. The 3, Tesere, I like a lot. I just think it's going to get an absolutely great trip with more tactical speed than many of the other logicals and still plenty of finish. Should be able to save ground. Second time off the layoff for Miller, who's had a couple of winners lately, as we await his impending quote-unquote retirement. But I think Tesere is one that I'm definitely going to want on tickets. And then in terms of deeper backups, horses that wouldn't surprise slash ones that I might get involved in on the win pool if their prices go big enough, the 8, Virulente, I thought was an interesting example of turf form shipping west for Phil D'Amato. He's got such a great record with his first time Euros, and this is a race that's typically won by shippers, whether they're from the East Coast or overseas. Virulente fits that bill. And the 10, Sparkle Blue, just looked obvious off the Facile local win. I was worried about maybe getting a bet too hard, but one that I wanted to keep on the radar as well. So I've got the 11-3 as A's and the 8 and the 10 as B's in the Durante. And with that, we'll move on to our Sunday race, the boys' version of this one. It's the Cecil B. DeMille. It goes early. It's going to go as race number 3, which I thought was interesting. 4:30 Eastern, the scheduled post time for this one. And my opinion is dreadfully boring in here, Sean. I like the two favorites. I saw it more or less as a match between Optimizing and Verbal. Optimizing, the number 1 for McCarthy, I thought would get a great trip, stalking the pace, saving ground, and I felt like you could upgrade that last run because of the ground loss in there. This is a progressive sort in great hands and would be my top pick, but I'm not going to be looking to stand too much in the way of Verbal. Showed a terrific kick on debut for Chad Brown, who has had such a record of success at this Del Mar Turf Festival. This horse is obvious. The race should be run to suit. The post isn't ideal, but again, here, but potentially no big deal with the running style. Can drop in and make that get into contention and then hopefully quick and pass them. Of slightly more concern to me at what might be an underlaid price is the fact that 5 horses have come out of that debut win and none of them have won. But I went and looked at all the individual races and figures, and I will say this, the performance of that field in aggregate does seem to back up the figure. Several of them have come back and run faster the way you would expect, and others who haven't run as fast have excuses. So Verbal to me just too obvious to ignore. Nothing great for me. I'm giving you the favorite. I'm giving you the second choice over the favorite. Let's see if Sean has any more creativity.
Emmy DeLossi. It was previously trained by Simon Callahan. The 6, Il Capitano, needs to step up on figures. Certainly, the last time it tried stakes races was pretty disappointing. But I don't feel like there's any major standouts here other than those two top choices that we talked about. And when you put Johnny V on at 20-1 with a horse who has been first and second in his 2 lifetime starts at Del Mar and has been pretty competitive in all 5 lifetime races other than the one poor race there at Santa Anita and Azuma Beach. So pretty tough to get past the top 2 picks, but the 6, Il Capitano, would love to see him blow up the tote board somewhere.
I mean, it's really interesting, and I can't think of a better rider to potentially successfully change a horse's running style than Johnny V. You know, I mean, when I look at the form, when I did my initial reading of the form on Il Capitano, I was thinking, okay, needs the lead. There's tons of other need the lead types.
Yeah, I mean, what's going to happen here?
He's
going to read the form
down.
The same way
but,
we're going to read.
I mean, look
the
no
form.
Further than just whatever, 3 weeks
say,
ago.
I mean,
and,
unless the trainer
and,
says
horse,
you have to go to the lead.
In the Breeders' Cup Classic, that I would have told you in Medina Spirit needed the lead to have any chance, and who coaxes him to race, to rate nicely and get a good second. Maybe similar tactics will be.
So he's
available
kind of forced to go
Johnny
to the lead there.
On
maybe
Capitano
shipping
today.
Up
this
the
is,
golden
this
game.
Is
you were thinking,
convinced me
try
definitely
something different,
should be
drawing the one
included
hole. Who knows,
as the potential stinger,
you know,
at
Johnny
least
for the
vertical
for
exotics.
And,
I assume that's the trip.
And,
you're not seeing a speed of the speed trip for Il Capitano. You imagine he'll settle and finish, or am I misreading that? And Amy DeLasse might not be a familiar name to a lot of people, but been an assistant. You know, I remember
absolutely.
When she was an assistant
for her
dad back in the day.
Oaks and Derby Trails
was
be
a big,
before you
big
know
pet
it.
Trainer of mine
and,
many, many
we'll
moons
see a
ago.
Lot of,
I don't mind seeing
we'll
seeing that name in the program
today,
one bit
which
for a horse that I want to bet.
So, and,
a couple of really interesting angles there, Sean. Thank you for shining some light on that.
So,
as far as baby talk goes, I think we can do a couple more episodes before our season ends. We've got good two-year-old stuff in New York next weekend, and then maybe we need to do some sort of year-end wrap show, just looking back at the first and second year sires and trying to point out some things that can help us going forward, maybe even an early look at the Kentucky Derby Trail. What do you think? I like it. And then we'll figure out, you know,
just
you and I will huddle in December and think about what things are going
to
look like. We haven't discussed it. Production meeting in the middle of the show. Will it continue with a Triple Crown focus early year? Will we take off and come back when the two-year-olds come back? We'll have to see what we want to do. But we appreciate everybody who's made comments and told us they've enjoyed these shows. Again, we're open to other feedback, things you want covered, questions you want answered. Hit us up, the contact page on InTheMoneyPodcast.com. You can find me on Twitter, at LoomsBoldly. Sean is there as well, just with his name, Sean Tugel, S-E-A-N-T-U-G-E-L. Any closing thoughts for the people before we send this one home? We'll be having our eyes peeled on that one as well. That's an amazing what an amazing career he's had, the old boy. Great stuff. Okay, that's gonna do it. We'll thank our sponsors Gainsway one more time. We'll thank Sean Tugel. We'll thank Kevin Kirstein. It was great having him on with his insights from the ground there at Churchill. Thanks most of all, as I said before, to all of you for listening, for making these shows so much fun to do. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. Our business manager is Drew Cotney. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May the hammer drop your way.